to just remain standing and turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Amen. We sang that song earlier. I commented briefly on that song, My Savior's Love. Then that last one, He Loves Me. No wonder that we would love Him, seeing how wonderful He is. But I am amazed that He would love the likes of you and I. Amen. That He'd love me and give Himself for me. What a blessing. And we have a lot to be thankful for on that. Amen. We owe Him. We love Him because He first loved us, the Bible says. But we owe Him so much. He made the first move. And matter of fact, He does it all. I thank God for Jesus. Amen. And amen. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 6, the text we're looking at. We'll back up and read verse 1 through verse 12. We're going to point out verse number 6 today. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Here's our verse we're looking at today. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let's look again at verse 6. And read that together again. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You again for the privilege of being able to come to the house of
yes,
God.
Yes, we do, Lord.
Sunday school hour. Again, we thank You for last night's men's meeting and the Word of God that was preached and
yes.
Lord, how it spoke to us. I pray now, as we look into the Word of God, that You bless and anoint Brother Shepherd as he stands and
help us, Lord,
lays yes. and preaches the message You laid upon his heart. And may the Holy Spirit of God have free course in the service today. May we be careful not to grieve or quench Him
yes,
in any way.
Lord.
And I ask and pray that You speak to us through Thy Word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank You for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. As I said, these 12 verses are known as the Beatitudes, especially verse 3 through 12. And the whole chapter 5, 6, and 7 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. I mentioned this is our Lord's most famous sermon, as so many people know at least portions of it. As we looked at this portion called the Beatitudes, this is the most famous, probably, section of this sermon. I believe it is the foundation. I believe our Lord's laying these 9 Beatitudes down as 9 foundations to build a monumental sermon upon that foundation, and all of that sermon rests on this foundation. Did you know that a whole lot depends on starting right?
Right.
Amen. If you don't start right, there's places God gives us grace and allows us a second chance and allows us to get started off right. Thank God. But this thing about living for God, you don't just jump in living for God. You got to get born again. There's got to be a starting point, and it's got to be right. It's got to be right. If it's not right, it'll never be right. Matter of fact, Brother Mike Qualls preached a sermon one time, an illustrated sermon. I saw him preach to young people that he entitled The Clock That'll Never Be Right. And he used a lot of illustrations, and he used illustrations. He had a clock there that didn't have a battery in it, so it wasn't running. That clock's still right twice a day. Amen. He had a digital watch that had stopped running. But that watch even was right at least once a day. It was a 24-hour clock. But he had a clock that was one that was running, and it was it was one of these that's not a perpetual, but a semi-perpetual that just keep on, keep on, keep on. Didn't need batteries. You know, just keep on going. But that clock was set at the wrong time, and it'll never be right. And I'm telling you, it is important how you start. So these things, I believe these Beatitudes are dealing with the starting point of living for God. The starting point of Christianity. And our Lord's teaching these people. It is a new doctrine, so to speak. He's tying it into the Old Testament. Amen. And pulling that in and giving them His New Testament sermon and His New Testament principles, I believe, on living for God. Well, we've covered the first three Beatitudes already. This will be the fourth. And as we looked at them, we talked about the first one dealt with spiritual poverty. And then the second one dealt with spiritual pining, those that mourn. And then the third one dealt with spiritually pliant. That's what I preached on last Sunday morning and night. The meek that shall inherit the earth. Amen. And that pliant, that idea that the meek will bow to God's will and be submissive to the will of God. Now today, we want to move to this fourth one, and I've called it the blessed are the panting. That keeps it with a P so we can remember it. Blessed are the panting, they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And you know that the psalmist, I think David, but at least the psalmist, said at least a couple of times, and we'll look at those in a moment, about the deer that pants after the water brooks. That's the idea. Thirsting, so thirsty that he's got to have those water brooks. And that's the idea that is here that our Lord's saying, blessed are those that are hungry, those that are thirsty for the things of God. Amen. And he uses it as righteousness. Now, I mentioned in our previous studies that I believe each of these work like rungs on a ladder. That you start at the bottom, and that you start there at the land, if I could say it, tells us where to get started, and then it leads us on as we step up, step by step, on each one successfully. And by the way, you can't get to the third one until you've landed on the second one. You see what I'm saying? So there, it's that constant. You got to land on one, and then that one leads you to the next one. Then you land on that one, and it leads you to the next one. And so we see as these, I believe, pull us along. The first beatitude dealt with and brought forth a realization of our emptiness and our bankruptcy before God. Our spirit was empty and was in poverty, and we had to beg if we was going to even live. Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then the second beatitude brought forth a judging of ourselves. We saw how bankrupt we were, and we were sorry for it. We sorrowed over that. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then the third beatitude brought forth here an end of attempting to do something about it on our own, an end to attempting to justify ourselves before God. It calls us to be meek before Him and meek towards all others as well. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now that rung leads us to the next rung, which is verse number 6 in our text today. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Only once we cease looking within ourselves for any goodness, when we realize there is none there, then we will turn our eyes toward someone that is good. Amen. Amen. Once we get to that place that we realize that we have no righteousness of our own, and He alone is righteous, and we must have that righteousness, we will hunger after that righteousness, and we'll not rest until we are filled with that righteousness, and until we attain or obtain that righteousness. Amen. Now, we have become, I believe, conscious of the need. That as He shows us, we have realized our great need. Now we seek that which we need. We strive for it. We beg for it. We long after it. And we will not be denied, and we will not be refused until we obtain that blessing of our Savior. We say as Jacob did, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. Amen. And so I'm glad for that beatitude that leads us in the direction of cleaving to our Savior. Amen. It is a higher thing to be hungering after and thirsting after righteousness than it is to be meek. It's a higher thing. It's a higher thing to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness than it is to mourn or to recognize that you're poor in spirit. But nobody ever hungers and thirsts after righteousness until they recognize their poverty, grieved over their poverty. Amen. And been made meek towards God that they realize He is the only one that can help them. Amen. Amen. It's not a self-help program that we need. Amen. Amen. Well, I said in my sermon last week that the meek man is one who is contented with what God has given him in this world. When our ambition ends for things in this world, then our aspirations reach for another world. Amen. When we realize that this world is not satisfying, that there's nothing here that can satisfy the soul of man, then we'll reach for the world that can. Amen. And the one that can. When we cease to hunger after this world, we will begin to hunger and thirst after a better world. Amen. And that is the things of God. Now, having said that, when we say farewell to these passing things in this world, when we say farewell to these perishing things in this world, then we are ready to reach for, and we do throw our whole intensity towards reaching for those things which are godly things, those things which are important things. Amen. Brother Kuhn said something yesterday evening, yesterday evening, that I thought was a very, very good point. I can't say it exactly like he said it, but he's dealing with providing for your family as a man. By the way, he preaches to us men, if you women want to hear a good sermon on straightening out men, that's it. That's not telling you how to do it, but he did it. Amen. I guess Miss Kuhn told him how to do it, but no, I'm kidding. In that sermon, he dealt with this thing about providing. And he was talking about how that it's really not enough to give your children nice clothes and a nice house and good things. He said, who cares if you got a 72-inch screen so you don't miss anything? If they still don't know one thing about God and they don't know one thing about God's will and about Christ and about salvation, you have cheated your child. He's so right. Amen. Can I tell you one of the most important things children need? That's for a mom and daddy sitting on a church pew beside them. They need to be in church, but they need mom and daddy in there with them. Amen. They do. They do. They need that. Well, this world, we're living in a world that just hungers after this world. But if we can ever recognize, as I preached several sermons on Ecclesiastes, that it's all vanity, it's all vexation of spirit, all it'll do is cause you more worry. Amen. Do you know you can own property and property will never satisfy you? Man that owns the most property in this state probably wants more. Amen. And he's worried to death how he's going to pay his property taxes. And he's worried to death somebody's going to be trespassing. Amen. All kinds of worries that come with those things. I'm telling you, I couldn't care less about this world. God help us to get to the place that we could be that way, that we wouldn't care if we could buy it all with a solitary dime, as one song says. Amen. Amen. Why? Because we got our sight set on another land. We got our sight set on a better world. Amen. A world that passes not away. Our Lord said this, Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. If you're still hungry after this world, you're not hungering after God. Amen. If you even think this world can satisfy you, you're not hungering after God. You got to get to that place that you're cured of the ardor and the drive to obtain more. These worldly pursuits and earthly pursuits that are so popular. By the way, it's selfishness when you get down to the principal means of it. Amen. When we get to that place, we can drive selfishness out. Then we can become humble and meek before God. And then we can hunger and thirst after righteousness. I've got about four or five things I want to point out about this hungering and thirsting. I call it panting for sake of alliteration. Let me say, first of all, there's the aim for this panting. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, here it is, after righteousness. Amen. This hunger and thirst is only blessed when it is a desire after righteousness. We must first acknowledge we have none of our own. I've got several verses. I'll read you just a couple, then I'll have you turn and look at some. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. That's talking about men. Our Lord's righteous, but we're not righteous without Him. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now that's not saying that God doesn't honor you doing good. That's not saying that God doesn't recognize you doing good. But it says if you're trying that for salvation, you'll never get there. It'll never even amount up. Amen. This is nothing before God. Turn to Job chapter number 9, and I'll show you some verses. I'll show you one in Job, and then we'll look at some others. All right, Job chapter number 9. You know that when Adam and Eve stood before God, guilty of sinning before God, they recognized they were uncovered. They recognized their nakedness, and they desired a covering. Now, they made the mistake of trying to make their own, which is a human mistake that's still being made to this day. Amen. But they became aware that they were naked before God and needed a covering. That's what we need. We need to become aware that we have no righteousness of our own. The only one with a robe of righteousness is our Lord that can give us that robe of righteousness. Amen. Job chapter number 9 and verse number 2. Here's what Job said. I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? He said, I know that somehow there's a way to be justified. But how can that be? Turn to Isaiah chapter number 64. No, Jeremiah. I looked at Isaiah 64. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah says this in a couple other places, but I'm going to use this one. Jeremiah 23, verse number 6. In his days, he's talking about the righteous branch, the Lord that's coming through the lineage of David. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Amen. Job said, I know it is so of a truth, but how can a man be just with God? Jeremiah said, I know his name. His name is the Lord our righteousness. Amen. Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3. You don't have to turn that. It'd be hard for you to find one of those smaller books, one of the last four books of the Bible, of the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 2 verse 3 says this, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So he's saying, you know how if we don't have any righteousness of our own, he's got righteousness, so we need to seek him. We need his help. We need his righteousness. Turn to Romans chapter number 10. I'm sure you know this. While you're turning there, I'm going to read you Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. So what are we seeking? We're looking for righteousness. We don't have any. Where are we going to get righteousness? It's got to come from Him. It's His righteousness. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 4. Romans 10 verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen. Looking for righteousness? Look to Jesus and you need look no further. Amen. He's the end of the law for righteousness. He's the end of the line for righteousness. He's the end of you looking for righteousness. You need righteousness? Come to Christ. Hold your place in chapter 10. Look back at chapter 4 and verse number 3. Romans 4:3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What did Abraham believe? He believed God. What did God said? God promised a Messiah would come through his lineage. Amen. Abraham believed God, and it was counted on him for righteousness. Now turn back to Romans 10 and verse 10. We read verse 4. We'll look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Amen. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. So, what is this righteousness that we're looking for? Well, this righteousness is twofold. I believe it deals with salvation and it deals with sanctification. Here we see it linked with righteousness and salvation. Romans 10:10. How do you get it? You got to come through the Lord Jesus. That's the aim. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Again, I say, he's the end of what you're looking for. Amen. You need salvation? Look to Jesus. You need sanctification? Look to Jesus. Amen. The aim of this hunger and thirst, you ought to be longing for Jesus. Amen. He's the one you're looking for. Amen. Amen. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that when the Holy Ghost is allowed to do his work in the heart of a man, not only does He create in us an insatiable desire for righteousness to be imputed unto us. We know we need that righteousness. And we can't work it up. So we need that righteousness imputed to us. But I also believe that He creates in us a desire to have that righteousness imparted to us. Not just that we have it on our record, but we have it in reality. Amen. Not just that we've got it written down on our list, but we've got it written down in our life and we're living a life of righteousness. Amen. That's one reason I've got a problem with people that say they got saved and they're still living the same way they lived before they ever made that quote unquote profession. Something wrong there. This hunger and thirst after righteousness, and by the way, here's the problem. I told Brother Steve, I looked this up and I read this week C.S. Lewis's testimony how he got saved. He said, I came to Christ kicking and screaming. I came to Christ looking for another way out, refusing to bow to Him. I don't believe a word of that. Not one word. Not one word of that. I don't believe it. God don't drag you down the aisle. You fighting God. Amen. Now, mama might drag you down the aisle. Daddy might drag you down the aisle. Preacher might drag you down the aisle. Amen. But God's not dragging you down the aisle. Amen. The Holy Ghost may convict you to the point that you're broken, you're begging God, but I believe there'll be a hunger after God. It won't be just God does something to you and you couldn't help it. Amen. You fighting against God. People do fight against God, by the way. But they don't get saved fighting against God. I remember when I was my senior year between high school and college. I think it was my senior year. It could have been my junior year, but I think it's senior year. Pretty sure that's right. I took a class. I was in this thing called Upward Bound. It was dealing with helping poor kids get into college and get these grants and things like that. And had to have a certain grade level. And I was in that program and we had summer classes. They do that 10th grade through 12th grade. And in one of those years anyway, one of the last years of it, I took a thing where that I could actually be a counselor and could help the kids that was coming along. May have been my first year in college. Anyway, whatever it was, I took this in the summer. I could sort of try to help with those kids and work with those kids. In order to do that, you had to take CPR training, you know, things like that. You had to be able actually to be a help to them. And you had to prove that you could swim a mile without stop. And just different things because they take them to the beach and the kids get out there and they, you know, all get in trouble. Well, I rescued a girl, saved a girl's life probably from drowning in the process of that. I'm not patting myself on the back, but that's a blessing to me that I was able to do that. But involved in that, they told us that when you see somebody drown and you go out to them, there's a good chance that they're going to do their best to fight you. They're trying to stay afloat, and they may drown you, you trying to rescue them. It happens all the time. So what they told us to do was they said, you swim out there, and if they're fighting you, you knock them cold. Because they're better with a lump on the head and breath in their lungs than you and them both drowned in the bottom of the sea. Amen. That's what they told us. Now, I didn't have to knock that girl out. I don't know which one of us would have won. Amen. But, amen. But seriously, here's my point. Sometimes people are so frantic in trying to help themselves that they hurt themselves and they hurt people trying to help them.
Right.
But when our Lord comes along, you're not going to get help when you're fighting Him. Amen. You got to get to the place that you need help and know you need help and you're willing to ask for it. Amen. You got to get to the place that you're willing, I believe, to get to the place you'd be willing to beg for it. Amen. And so we see here this is talking about righteousness. It's dealing with salvation, but it's also, I believe, talking about sanctification. Amen. And I believe it's a double work of the Holy Ghost. There's songs that we sing, and my favorite song all in that is in that book. It's in the church hymnal, page 83. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. It says, let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from wrath and make me pure. Amen. And there's other songs. There is a fountain that does that, I believe. There's power in the blood does that. Talks about not only that Christ saves us, but He sanctifies us. Amen. He makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I could say a whole lot of things about that. Let's talk about the aim of this panting. Jesus is the aim. We've got to get to Jesus. Amen. Righteousness. That's what we're longing for. Amen. Then there's the age of this panting, or the timing. I say the age because my age. But look at verse number 6 again. Blessed are they which do hunger, not did hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not one day will hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's for this present time. Blessed are they which do hunger. Amen. It's not a past tense hunger, but it is a current, present hungering after righteousness. I believe there is an ongoing desire for God. I don't believe that you can somebody knock on your door and say, you know what you really need? You need an insurance policy to keep you out of hell. Let's put your name down here and you can put it aside and never think about it again. That's not salvation. Amen. That's not being in Christ Jesus. Because when you're in Christ Jesus, Christ is living holy and Christ is longing after holiness. Amen. And that's what He's wanting from us. Amen. And that's what He puts, by the way, not only is that what He's wanting, that's what we're wanting when we get to that point. Amen. I've heard men talk about how that they drank liquor before they got saved and God got them to a place that they're sick of the liquor. They're sick of what it's doing to their family. They're sick of what it's doing in their life. Amen. I believe God can make us sick of our sin in order for us to long after Him. Amen. Amen. And then once you get saved, why would you want to go back to the hog pen? Amen. Can you imagine a prodigal son? And dad says, go get the calf out of the stall. I've been fattening him up just for this purpose. And the boy says, I believe I'll go back to the hog pen. That's crazy. He wouldn't go back to the hog pen. He's going to enjoy that fine steak. Amen. Because they wasn't even offering him none of that pork steak down there at the hog pen. Amen. All he was getting was the filth. Wasn't getting no satisfaction. That's right. Amen. Well, this current hunger, that hungering after righteousness is not just for salvation. I believe once a sinner has been made righteous in the sight of God, amen, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he desires not only to have righteousness, but to do righteous. He desires to be righteous before God. Amen. Amen. Not just counted as righteous. Amen. He desires to be that way. You ever in school played ball, got put on the team? You got to wear the jersey on the seat. on the bench. You didn't feel like you was part of the team. I mean, you had the jersey, your name was on there, all that, but you wanted out on that ball field. Amen. I believe there's something about that in Christianity. When we get saved, we don't just want our name on the roll. We don't just want a jersey saying that we're on the team. We want to do something for our Savior. We want to do something for our God. I'm not talking about salvation by works, but I am talking about works that follow true faith and true salvation. Amen. Amen. I believe that's right. We want not only to be counted righteous, we actually want to be righteous and do some righteous things for our Lord. Listen, we know, if you know the Bible, you know God. You know what God desires? He wants truth in the inner heart, in the inner man. That's what the psalmist said. Lord, I know that Thou desirest truth in the inner man. That ought to be our desire too. Real, real Christianity. Amen. We know God wants that, so we ought to ask God to help us that our whole nature be pure. Not just our Sunday mornings be pure, our Sundays all day be pure, our Mondays be pure, our Tuesdays be pure, our every day be pure. You understand where I'm going there? That's the aim, and that's the age. Right now, I want to be living for God. Listen, I got saved June the 29th or 30th, whatever, it was the fifth Sunday in June 1974 when I got saved by the grace of God. Excuse me. I'm glad my name was written down that day, but I want to be righteous today. Amen. 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 If I get to live tomorrow, I want to be righteous tomorrow because I want to please my Savior that died for me. Amen. Amen. You know, as saints, I believe we want to ask, and we do ask God to keep us from every temptation. Amen. That He might subdue the pride of our heart. That it might help us to have good discernment and good direction. That we might be holy through and through. And truly please the one that's called us to be a soldier. Amen. I believe we ought to pray and ask God that our conduct towards our fellow man be right. Amen. We ought to make it a matter of prayer. Not just, Lord, save me. Lord, help me that I can be a witness to my fellow man. Help me that I can show Christ to my fellow man, that they can see Christ in me, that I might in all ways bring respect to the name of Jesus and not reproach to the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this new birth, I believe, creates a desire for that holiness. I believe it does. If we, I put it this way, and I believe it's right. If we manage to overcome one bad habit, we long to overcome another until we can pray that we overcome them all. Amen. If we manage to exhibit one grace, if we manage to exhibit one characteristic of righteousness, we long to represent another. We long to be able to attain another. We long to, until we can attain them all and we can be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And with all the characteristics that are in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. We want to overcome all evil. We want to accomplish all good. That is a hunger and a thirst, I believe, after righteousness. This spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst, is a sign of spiritual life. Amen. It's a sign of spiritual health. Amen. Just like physical things is. When a person has no appetite, there's usually something wrong somewhere. Amen. Wouldn't you agree with me? When people have no spiritual appetite, there must be something wrong somewhere. Amen. When it doesn't seem to bother them to miss church, it doesn't seem to bother them to skip their Bible reading, doesn't seem to bother them to listen to dirty jokes, doesn't seem to bother them to watch filthy things, doesn't seem to bother them to run with a worldly crowd, no hunger after righteousness, no spiritual appetite, something wrong in their spiritual being. On the flip side of that, when a person has a good appetite, that's a sign they're getting better. Amen. I must be getting really good. Seriously, physical appetite, they say, well, if they can just keep something on their stomach, they'll be doing good. If they can just eat and gain strength. Amen. I remember a young man that I worked with in the glass factory. He had cancer. He was in his early 20s. Found he had cancer. and serious cancer. They did surgery on him. He told me, he said, there's a, this big black nurse told him, she said to him, she said, son, she said, you can be sick and go home and not eat and you will die. But she said, you can tough it up and eat something and you'll live. And he did. His nickname was Little Sam. He's about that big around. About this tall, about that big around. She told him to eat. He took it to heart, buddy. He went to eating and he did good. Amen. Can I tell you spiritually? I wonder how many of us about that big around. Anemic. I'm serious. I'm not fussing at you. This is me, but he's preaching to me. Amen. But why? Because we have no spiritual appetite. But if we long after the things of God, we get hungry for the things of God, I believe it'll show a spiritual health and it'll gain us some spiritual health. Amen. This spiritual hunger to feed the inner man, I believe ought to be a common experience among the children of God. Those who are truly saved and those who are walking in a right relationship with Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I could show you a lot of verses. I'll show you a few. I'll skip over some of these. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 24, as I said, could read right through a bunch of these. He's talking to saved people now. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be ye have been taught of him. All right, look at verse 24 now. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know what Paul's saying there to the Ephesian believers? He's saying, you're saved. He's talking to saved people. But he said, you need to live like saved people. You need to put on that new man. You need to walk around in that new man a little bit. You need to add to your faith. Amen. You need to go another step and put on that new man. He said, that new man's created in righteousness and true holiness. You was made righteous and you was made holy when God saved you. But the new man longs to walk in that. Is what he said. Turn to Philippians chapter number 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling, of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Here's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, when I got saved, he said, I left some things behind and I don't look back. I'm not looking back at those. I'm looking forward and I'm striving forward for the things of Christ. I want to know more about my Lord. That's what he's saying. Amen. Pressing forward. Turn back to Psalm 17. And I'll give you my next point after that. All right, Psalm 17. This age, the time of this hunger. Verse number 15. Again, I could read a lot, but let me just jump at verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, he said, I want to see you. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Amen. I want to see you, and I will see you. And he said, I'll be satisfied when I'm like you. Amen. 1 John 3, 2 and 3, you know, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him. Amen. Amen. For we shall see Him as He is. That's not getting exactly right. But the idea is we're going to see Him one of these days, and we will be like Him. That ought to be our desire right now. Lord, I'm never going to be satisfied until I'm more like Jesus. I've got a hunger and a thirst after that righteousness. Amen. Can I give you the third one? There's the angst. Look back at it again. Matthew 5, 6. The angst or the anguish in this panting. Blessed are they which do hunger. You ever been hungry? I mean really hungry. Most of us Americans have never been really hungry. Amen. Brother Stennett Blue preaches that scripture from, I don't remember now, it's 1 Kings, 2 Kings, where the city of Jerusalem was besieged. Had the armies around them. They're starving to death. Women was boiling their own children and eating them. And it said that pigeon's dung was sold for so much. And an ass's head, a donkey's head, was sold for so much. And here's what I heard Brother Blue make about that statement. He said, when I read that, I realize I've never been hungry. I wouldn't buy pigeon's dung for a meal, would you? I wouldn't buy a donkey's head or a mule's head for lunch. Why? Because I don't have to. If I got to the place I didn't have anything else, I might think about it, right? What would cause a person to get so low that they'd be willing to eat stuff like that? What would cause it? Real hunger. Real hunger. Hunger that pains. Hunger that hurts. Amen. Amen. I've read about people that have been trapped, people that have been, you know, secluded somewhere that's waiting for somebody to rescue them, and things that they would do just to have a little something to eat, things they do just to have a little moisture in their mouth. I'm talking about they had real pains. That's what this scripture is talking about. It's not just talking about a notion. Boy, you know, it'd be nice to have such and such. Boy, I'd like that. Listen, we are blessed when we can answer the question, what do you want for lunch? Amen. What do you want? I'm going to tell you what we better want. We better want God. We better want His righteousness. But this is not just a want. This is not just a desire. This is a must have. It's an anguish of soul. Not just hungering like we would say normal hunger, but this is a hunger and a thirst. It is a desire so great that it is what this man eats and drinks. It is what this man lives and thinks about. It's what this man drives after and lives for. It's what he eats and drinks. He both hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Amen. My belly won't be satisfied without you. My lips won't be satisfied without you. My mouth won't be satisfied without you. My life won't be satisfied without you. That's what he's going after. Amen. Amen. We're in a day when we see almost no spiritual appetite. Almost no spiritual appetite. When they can get people up on the stage to sing quote unquote what they call Christian music that looks worse than Hollywood looks. That looks more demonic than the heavy metal singers did when I was growing up. Amen. We thought the Beatles was bad. You look at some of these quote unquote Christian groups. And that's passing for spiritual food now. In a lot of churches, no spiritual appetite. A lot of preachers would count it a blessing if somebody just said they was hungering after righteousness. This is not somebody that just said it. He said they do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. Our Lord speaks of those who hunger and thirst after it. Again, I go back. If somebody just said I was hungry, our Lord didn't say you just got to be hungry. He said you got to be hungry and thirsty. You've got to have a full-fledged desire for this. Amen. Amen. I know I'm running long. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how to turn it loose right here, to be honest with you. I don't know how to turn it loose. I don't know how to give you my heart. I've got my notes and I've got my thoughts. I just wonder, we look around, are we satisfied saying, boy, we're the cream of the crop? Because we still sing them old songs out of that good book, but they don't touch us. We can rejoice that we got a King James Bible, but we don't read it. And we don't live by it. Amen. We can rejoice. We can say, boy, we got the old time preachers that stomp and snort and spit, run and holler and sling snot in it, but we don't. It don't change us. Are we satisfied with no hunger, no thirst for the things of God? Are we satisfied to bring our children in? I thank God for all these children. I'm glad they're here. But I don't want to be just sitting here just as lost, right on, just go right on, no change, nothing ever change. I want to see them come and know God, know some reality of this thing. Amen. Not just grow up in the fundamental circles and know how to quote all the verses and go out and wipe, throw all of that away and live like the devil because they don't have anything on the inside. I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not satisfied with it. But I'm afraid too many times we do get satisfied with it. Too many times we bury our head in the sand. We forget how serious it really is. Not just to show up. Not just to be able to say, boy, we had good singing. Boy, we had a good sermon. Boy, wasn't it wonderful? But I mean to have God sit down with us. And God speak to us. And God change us. And God go home with us. Right, too often, we don't have that appetite. I'm going to tell you why we don't. We're full of junk. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to quit right there. You say, preacher, are you fussing at us? I guess I am. I'm putting me in the same category. Because I'm afraid we belong there. You say, preacher, you don't have a high opinion of us. Listen, I hope we are the cream of the crop, but if we are, our world's in a mess. I want to be cream of the crop for God. Not that I want a pat on the back from the world, but I would like to hear Him say, well done. Brother Kuhn said that last night. I'd like to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can I tell you, He's not going to gloss it over on that day of judgment. He's not going to gloss it over. He's not going to say, boy, you did a good job if you didn't do a good job. He's not going to say, well done if we've not done well. Lord, help us. Lord, help us this morning. I thank, Lord, that I have somewhat of a desire after God. I think that I have somewhat of a hunger, but I'm not sure if I can really say that it's a hunger. It's not like I'm starving, Lord. I ought to be. As bankrupt as we are, as needy as we are, when I look around and I see, Lord, it's not just the world's kids that's going crazy. It's preachers' kids. It's people that sit on the pews every Sunday morning, Sunday night and Wednesday night. And even their kids are going to the dogs, headed to the hog pen. Lord, we ought to be hungry. Lord, I pray, work this in me and in thy people, that it might not just be a study of these verses, but Lord, it might be reality in our life. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning unsaved, would you create in them a hunger? Help them realize how bankrupt they are. Help them get to the place they'll say, I can't go any further without surrendering to Christ. I must have help. Lord, help us as saints do the same. Help us, Lord, to quit putting it out of sight and out of mind. Help us, Lord, to quit pulling the rug over it, just letting the dirt stay there. Oh, Lord, work in our heart, I pray, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, if you need to come, obey the Lord. Page 39. Do whatever the Lord says do. That's all we can do.